named and platted by Captain John Cooch. Tree-lined, it had an aura of respectability and permanence. Going back in time, I'll just mention two of the human neighbors of these specific survivors. These elms were shading Winslow Ayres' brick mansion across Johnson when he gave the money to build the Portland Art Museum. Dr. Rodney Gleason, just back from his European lecture circuit as an early authority on obstetrics, put Portland on the European world map medically. He would have passed under these trees one block from his mansion on 19th and Irving, perhaps pushing the baby stroller. My point is that successful and good citizens who shaped our city planted these street trees, and lots of them. Those survivors are an integral part of our historic district's identity. Honoring them is what historic districts and design guidelines and landmarks commissions are supposed to do.
I think we're all dying to know what that tall building there is.
It's the old school, the old high school.
The old high school?
Yeah.
Wow. That's where the freeway is now, right?
Yes. Yeah, 405 is there now. Right. These surviving elms and all their other surviving street trees in all our historic neighborhoods contribute to the fabric and context and deserve historic consideration that they didn't receive in this particular case. And so I urge you to support also the NWDA and the agreement that NWDA and Mill Creek have reached to allow this applicant to go forward carefully with the elm trees and also adopt a clear language in the code that gives historic protection and consideration to the street trees in all the historic neighborhoods. Thanks.
Hi.
Good afternoon. I feel under a third degree. I feel under a third degree light.
Welcome
here
to our life.
Good afternoon again. My name is Miriam Allo. I live in 1921 Northwest Hoyt Street, Portland, Oregon. I'm about a block and a half from the four majestic elms. And I'm here to urge you to support the appeal of the Northwest District Association to change the codes and the language of the historic landmarks guidelines that currently do not provide consideration and protection for street trees. And everybody has been already talking about this, but to me this omission is so contrary to the spirit of the Northwest Historic District neighborhood and to the spirit of the city of Portland. We are a neighborhood known for our trees. We are a city known for our trees. People come here because of the trees. These four majestic elms are inseparable from the four adjacent architectural structures that are protected. And in fact, as you mentioned already, they were planted at the same time by the same builders and architects. They were meant to harmonize, and they do harmonize. We see these trees as a sort of reference point in our neighborhood. We see them from our windows. We see them on the street. They offer us a living architecture. They represent a spirit of place. They represent the spirit of our neighborhood. And they have done so for 100 years. And they have many, many more decades ahead of them. To cut them is to do irreparable harm. To be oblivious to their value is to be oblivious to the character of the neighborhood. To require cutting them is proof that the scale and the design of buildings A and B are inappropriate for our neighborhood. And I will not go into the scale and the design other than saying these proposed buildings are so massive, monolithic, particularly the southwest facade of Building A, that to me it is it evokes a sort of penal institution out of a Charles Dickens novel. It is a punishment. But I urge you to approve the neighborhood's appeal to change the code, change the language, so that we can consider all these four elms as well as other glorious trees in our city. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Next.
Next four are Joe Keller, Bill C.M. Welch, Sharon Genasi, and Jerry Powell.
Hi, welcome. Would you like to begin, sir?
Yes, I'll try not to be redundant. Much of what I have to say has been touched upon by others. Street trees, we love them, particularly mature, tall ones. They are not sidewalks nor benches. They are essential to the identity and livability of neighborhoods. They supply a canopy scale movement, aesthetic pleasure, a touchstone to the past, a continuation of the context of historic architecture, as well as a measure of natural time. So I urge you to support this appeal and to insert appropriate language into the city codes or the city policy on trees so that review boards may consider existing trees as one factor in the approval process. I ran across this, looking for a quantitative expression of the virtues of street trees, I ran across this USDA Forest Service report of March 2008 called The Value of Street Trees in Portland, Oregon, and it says, quote, "The benefit of street trees in Portland far outweigh the cost. Estimated benefits are $45 million annually compared to an annual maintenance cost of $4.6 million, and my own comment is certainly the street trees referred to therein are not new spindly plants, but rather mature streets, trees which characterize the streets of Portland at this time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sir?
Hello. My name is Bill Welch. I live at 2705 Northwest Pettigrew Street, Portland, Oregon, 97210. As you can know, I'm supporting of the appeal at this time. This issue for me concerns the historic context and texture of our Alphabet Historic District. The historic districts are designed to protect the entire historic character and texture of our district, not just the historic buildings. These trees are needed to as part of that context. I do not see how they should be treated separately from the important buildings in the district. If we do not protect the trees at this time, then why would we have a district designation? Just because the houses are pretty? Because each of the houses need to be protected if they can be by their owners. But the entire thing in the context of the historic district needs to be protected, and that needs to include the trees as well. Now, I'm not suggesting that the development that will be occurring in our neighborhood, which is extensive as a result of our RH zoning, which happened in the 70s, because both on the west side, the east side and the north side, our neighborhood was being attacked by tilt-up warehouses because it was the cheapest land close to the city and close to the railroad yards. So our neighborhood chose to move in keeping with the environmental attitude of hoping to keep center and populations in the city, we moved to increase the land use capacity by zoning this area RH. Well, RH quickly turned the land away from $5,000 lots to $500,000 lots, and now they're being willing to build large houses or apartments. I think we got caught because we moved for a design, historic design review, or a district, but we were not able to finish the writing of extensive writing of the specifics for the guidelines. If you look at our guidelines, we only have three specific guidelines in our Alphabet Historic District. But it does make reference to the fact that this is a temporary and needs to be expanded. My guess is that the city didn't have funds allocated at that time to provide that staff time to do that. And so it was commented that it would be needed to be fluffed out and filled out later. So they made reference to using the community design guidelines for further references when we do historic design review. If you look at the community design guidelines in this for this town, there are neighborhood after neighborhood that have trees protected.
Thank you very much. Ms. Genasi.
Yes. Thank you very much for giving us a chance to testify. I'm here, obviously, strongly in favor of the NWDA appeal, and I hope that you'll really exert yourself to help us with this because there's so much at stake here. I'm here to testify about our wonderful 125-year-old trees, elm trees. My name is Sharon Genasi. I live on Johnson Street, not too far from the elms. I have been noticing a number of elms about that age around the Northwest neighborhood. These elms, the equally beautiful and historical lindens in front of our house, and other historic trees throughout Portland form a magnificent testimony to Portland's past, to the care and thoughtfulness of our Portland predecessors. Now that we have discovered that these trees, vital to our health and imagination, are not protected by the Landmarks Commission's language concerning their responsibility to protect historic Portland landmarks, please make it clear to the Landmark Commission and staff that the City Council places great value on both historic trees and buildings. Please insist on code language that protects our trees. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Jerry.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, I'm Jerry Powell. I'm from Goose Hollow, as you no doubt know. Goose Hollow hosts another historic district, the Kings Hill Historic District. Kings Hill Historic District specifically speaks to street trees. Quote page 12 of the district guidelines, street trees form a visual border between sidewalk and street. They help maintain the district's character. Page 72 in the guidelines, large street trees were planted to provide shade continue to define the area's landscape. Historic plantings, street trees that respond to district's past should be considered in new development in the district. Pretty specific, and specific to new development. In the case of the Alphabet District, Bill was quite correct. The final guidelines were never written for the Alphabet District. Instead, they incorporated by reference the community design guidelines, which, by the way, very definitely did include street trees. I'm under the impression that specific references and district plans supersede general language in the construction of Portland codes. That's something that needs to be considered here. Kings Hill quotes make clear the value of street tree canopies. We've been talking about that all afternoon. That's not really an issue. There's a clear value there. I think the issue is whether or not the city codes provide a protection for that canopy, and whether the Kings Hill Historic, or rather whether the Landmarks Commission, is empowered, perhaps required, to consider those things when it considers a historic district. I would say, yes, it does. I'd encourage you to agree with that. And I don't really see an ambiguity that was referred to earlier. I see a conflict between parts of the statute. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for your testimony. Anybody else?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. Well, yeah, please come forward.
I can come in late. I'm sorry, may I speak?
Yes. Anybody else wish to speak?
Sorry, I
2012 instead of here. Hi, my name is Cass Humphrey. I live at 19th and Hoyt. Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Hi.
And in our collective parallel universe, hello, Mr. Assistant Mayor, and the two commissioners that are left.
That's right.
God.
One will be back. He had to use the... He needed a compassion break.
Shall I wait?
No, he'll...
Okay.
Do you think we should wait? We'll wait.
Oh, okay.
Wait a second.
The reaction that you had to the two remaining commissioners was
unimpressed.
Was so deflating.
We'll have a 5-minute recess.
Commissioner Leonard, I'm
sure.
Sure.
5-minute recess.
Which I usually go to, which used to be the old setting for our normal lights here. You will see.
Next testifier said,
"We decided to wait for you."
She said that Randy and Nick were chopped liver, and that her favorite had left. We just decided we would wait till you come back. And okay, ma'am, would you like to come up? Your favorite commissioner has rejoined us.
Well, as a woman, I can appreciate the issue.
Yes. If you wouldn't mind, just for the record, state your name again.
Yes, it's Cass Humphrey. I live at 19th and Hoyt. And I kind of think of things in a simple way. And I think we all agree the first thing about problem solving is defining the problem. And I think you guys have a bunch of people that want the trees and some people that don't want the trees. And I think the reason we want the trees is because they're trees. And I think what we're not addressing is the developer will save a lot of money if he can take out those trees, and he has an expert that says they're going to die. Do I believe that? I do, because I think that's the way the building was designed. So I would think we could redesign the building, but do I think that's going to happen? No. I don't think you guys want to do it. I don't think anybody else wants to do it. So I don't think it's the job of the staff to save money for developers. That's just sort of the way I look at it. And the second issue is this process of what department, what commission, who, you know, it's the corporate salute. Shouldn't maybe these issues be decided even before they submit the design for review? If anything has to be done to a lot that isn't just a flat dirt lot, I think that should be resolved before it even gets to this point, because nobody wants to make them go back and redesign it.
Just a process point, they were decided by staff, and then anyone has the right.
Not with the community.
Anyone
the
has.
Issue.
I'm trying to answer your question. Okay. So staff, we write the rules and the policy, and we're governed by state law.
Mm-hmm.
But we write the fine-grained policy here as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
Staff takes that and makes their decisions based on council-approved policy. If there are disagreements with staff over how they have interpreted that policy, anyone has the right to appeal it, certain kinds of land use issues, to the city council.
So they deal with the footprint and the construction site before they even deal with the building, is what you're saying?
It depends on the, I'm not speaking to this specific issue, I'm speaking more generally, but the idea of appealing staff decisions, both providing staff to make decisions, mm-hmm. a lot of people, they make the decisions and projects move from there. Some people choose to appeal, which is their right.
I guess what I'm saying is I see this as a one process where right now we're dealing with the footprint, the construction site, and the building. What I think the solution to this problem, rather than have you guys make up a whole bunch of new laws and rules, nobody gets up in the morning and says, let's have more bureaucracy, is because you guys could do all these laws for trees, and then somebody else is going to come in and say, well, I have this little creek going
yep.
through here.
Let me clarify you there.
Okay.
We're going to use existing rules.
Well, I know that.
We have to do that.
That's part of the problem.
We're going to use existing rules.
Right, which we have no
to
protection.
To determine the answer to this question.
Okay.
I appreciate your testimony, and
I
understand your remarks, and just when we think we've thought of every possible variation on every possible issue, a new one comes up. So,
all right, well, good luck.
Thank you very much. All right, so we'll now have the opponents to the appeal.
Correct.
And you will get 15 minutes.
Is it this one? The arrow keys work. Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners, Mayor. My name is Sam Rodriguez. I am the developer for the project. My title is Managing Director for Mill Creek Residential Trust. We are apartment developers, essentially. We have worked really hard with the neighborhood to come up with some agreements. We've worked very hard with them through the design process to come up with a design that we feel is consistent with both the zoning, the historic character of the neighborhood, which is one of the reasons why we're in this neighborhood, with the density goals for the city, with basically with LEED. I mean, this is going to be a LEED project, so with sustainability goals that the city has and that we have as a firm also, and we share. We feel like the neighborhood that clarity in codes is a great policy. It's a great policy for developers to know exactly what they're up to, what are the their options, what are the issues that are going to be in front of us as we move forward with development and make sizable investments in these projects. So we, through this whole process, have worked hand in hand with the neighborhood. We have presented these drawings and these perspectives and the plans and the project through the planning committee of the NWDA. We have gone through DARs, as we mentioned. We have gone through the design review process as prescribed. We have followed the rules as we were told they were, and would like to have and love to have clear rules so that we know what awaits us as we move through this process. We have hired arborists to make sure. I mean, we recognize the trees as obviously important trees. They are 120, 125 year old trees, and we recognize that from the beginning at the onset of this project, and feel that we did all the research necessary to sort of come up with the right options and the right design. What I'm going to present to you is just a real quick overview of the project. But first of all, there was a lot of talk about language, and code language changes. This is actually in the agreement. This is language straight out of the agreement. The agreement has two, or settlement agreement has two pieces. The one first piece is about the interpretation of code and whether landmark review, landmarks has or not purview over street trees. And you know, we've come to an agreement with the city, with the neighborhood that we require clarity also, and this is one way to clarify it through this process. We have also agreed with the neighborhood on a preservation process. I mean, the reality is that these are old trees, and we have come together with our arborist with a plan that we hope will save the trees. But again, we can't guarantee that. The trees are a living thing, and they will be submitted to some degree of stress. The essential bullet points here of this agreement is that we will be pulling the basement back from in front of the trees to the property line, which we were under the property line with our parking. We will not change the building as it is, so we could move forward just by making that change, which doesn't physically affect the building itself. We will inoculate the trees against Dutch elm disease. These are elms. They're subject to Dutch elm disease, which is in existence in the city. So we will inoculate them ahead of time so that it would help protect them. I've learned more about elm trees than I probably ever wanted to in this process. And the Dutch elm disease is transmitted through a beetle, and we will then therefore spray, if needed, spray the trees with an insecticide to avoid the beetle attaching itself to the tree and infecting it with Dutch elm disease. We will create all sorts of protections around the trees during construction. I mean, one of the essential things that will stress the trees also very much is going to be the compaction of the root ball around the trees. So we, as we do sidewalks and work for the building in general, we'll avoid the Johnson Street facade of our building to try and protect as much as possible the tree metal plate around the trees, so that if there is circulation of workers and construction equipment, which we'll try and avoid as much as possible, it would happen along there. Obviously, we have to demolish the existing building, so and we will be building a basement to provide parking for the building. That process will be done as carefully as possible. There's many little bullet points, sub-bullet points here that describe that, but in essence, there will be machinery that will destroy the buildings, and we will get all that debris out off of 19th. We will definitely do some very careful demolition along a trench along the property line, which will be done probably with air spades and hand digging and so forth, and then the basement will be dug. Pruning will be required, some extensive. We don't know how far the root system goes underneath the building, if it does at all. So, you know, we're hoping that it's not as pervasive, that we can actually cut some of those roots, but roots will have to be cut, and so will canopy have to be cut in order to, and pruned appropriately. And all of this, by the way, will be done under the supervision of a certified arborist.
Can I just ask, I'm sorry.
Sure.
Maybe it's a dumb question, but you are listed as an opponent of the appeal. And
yes,
yet you're spending your time telling us about an agreement that you may or may not enter into,
yes,
with the neighborhood. I'm just curious what, or maybe you or your counsel can tell us, why is that before us?
We want to move forward. We want not to get appealed anymore. We would like to move forward with our building. We are willing to make some compromises to try and do that. And the Neighborhood Association felt necessary to bring this subject here in order to discuss item one of our settlement, which is the broader legislation or broader rules about street trees in the city, particularly in historic neighborhoods. So we don't see, we are trying to work with the neighborhood to satisfy them and satisfy the fact that we need to get moving on a project that we've had significant investments in.
So are you asking us to deny the appeal and give you the chance to enter into this agreement with the neighborhood, or are you asking us to incorporate this language in some order that we propose?
We would ask you to, we could live with the denial of the appeal, and we will come into an agreement, a private agreement with the neighborhood, most possibly is this one.
This portion.
This portion, part two of our settlement. As Tim said, you have several options. One of them is sort of a mixed option where you approve one part and not the other. That's the other option. And you could just approve this and the language, and we move forward. I mean, either way, what I am looking for is for an opportunity to move forward.
You don't want an appeal, but you're listed as an opponent. So, I mean, I think we're still interested in your view.
I'll let my attorney
answer. Whether Title 33 requires... mandates that there be consideration of impact on the trees. I mean, you may either, maybe if you have an opinion on that, I'd be interested in knowing.
Commissioner Fisk, this is Dana Krafcek, Land Use Counsel for Mill Creek. My address is 1120 Northwest Cooch. Why we're listed as the opponent to the appeal is that's the typical label that we would be given as the applicant for a project that's been appealed. And while we reached agreement with NWDA, who was the opponent, the appellant, we knew that there would be other people speaking on behalf of the appeal and raising issues outside of the interpretation, and we heard that about massing in bulk. And so we needed to preserve the right to respond to those issues and be a proponent of the project. And so I think that if you'll lend us the latitude of not getting as hung up on the labels, we are a proponent of the project. And one way we are a proponent of the project is we've reached this negotiated settlement agreement with the neighbors that includes two parts, the interpretation and the tree preservation measures.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, I lost my...
She'll bring it back.
Great. Thank you. So I'll go back to what we're doing, implementation of pruning as needed, stabilizing wires as needed, again, to make sure the trees are safe during construction. And at the end of the day, we will have an arborist that will be, in essence, creating a monthly report as to what is the status, the health, and so forth of the trees through the process, because we obviously are interested in public safety. We're interested in our building safety and everybody else around us. So that's a little bit. I mean, I have a few more images, which I just wanted to quickly show. This is basically what the footprint of our two buildings. I wanted to point out that there is, on building B, there is a beech tree that is on private property in the back that, again, was near and dear to the neighborhood also, and that one actually from the very beginning we had a read from our arborist that it was salvageable, so we worked to save that one too. So there's not only the four elms, but we're actually working to save the beech tree behind building B in the corner close to the building that says 828 Northwest 19th. This is a quick summary of what those trees are, those existing trees, in terms of a site plan that shows where those are and where the current building profile is. This is what the basement looked like in our original, when the original interpretation was that the trees would come down. And this is pulling that basement wall back to give room for the trees. Really quickly, so you get a sense of the scale of the buildings. I mean, this is before, and this is without showing those trees, obviously. This was the perspective of building A that was presented to to landmark review. It's a five-story building. And as it was mentioned, six stories was what is allowed by zoning in this site. This is the view along 19th Avenue next to the Olympic building, Olympic Apartments. This would be the view where the four trees would basically be, when we preserve the trees, they will be right here in front. I mean, initially we had some smaller trees, obviously planted newer trees. And this is just quickly building B, which is just a quarter block building, no parking, no basement, and the tree that we're preserving is in the back. This is the front view. And then again, this is just a general view. You know, we ask for clarity. We ask so that we can continue to work through this project and hopefully start construction towards the end of the year. We believe that the buildings are in scale and with the neighborhood and actually fit very well in there. And if so, saving the trees is what makes us, to answer your question, makes us move forward, this is what we want to do.
And if I may respond to my opinion on Commissioner Fritz's question about how can we move the basement back if it's different than what Landmark's approved, and I'm certainly interested in staff's opinion and city attorney's opinion on this, but Landmark's regulates above grade, which is not changed by the settlement proposal.
Correct.
All of the changing of the basement is below grade, so the slide that we showed you is how we would, the second slide is how we would move the basement back to accommodate more of the tree roots. So we feel like that's something that can be done even under Landmark's approval.
So I have a question. I heard you say that your settlement agreed on the interpretation and tree preservation. I'm assuming you meant the interpretation of the code.
The settlement has two parts, the first part being the interpretation of the code, which I think has particular importance for the neighborhood because they're looking at not only this project but future projects in their neighborhood and citywide. The second part of the agreement is the measures we'll take to try to preserve the trees, and that's what's particularly important for the developer because that's our roadmap for how we build this project.
So I think you've answered one of my two questions. If we were to agree as a council to the settlement that you've worked out, then we have, in effect, amended how we approach these kinds of developments citywide, not just on your particular project. That I hope you can appreciate raises a concern for at least me. But secondly, if you have agreed, I don't understand why you're here.
We weren't the appellants. Yeah. We didn't have the control to withdraw the appeal.
I still don't understand why you're taking the position. If you have an agreement and you have both sides have said this is what we'd live with, did nobody foresee that the council would be put in this awkward position of being asked to ratify a change to the code that our staff doesn't currently interpret and that we probably wouldn't go along, just conjecturing with whatever neighborhoods and developers agree to that could end up with a hodgepodge of development rules throughout the city that don't have a process by which they're vetted and applied uniformly. I mean, did that not occur to anybody?
Again, we're not the appellants, so we didn't have control of withdrawing the appeal, and I imagine that on rebuttal, the appellants will want to respond to your question. What I assume their response will be is, notwithstanding the fact that this developer was able to come together with this neighborhood, they didn't have that level of confidence for future projects within their neighborhood or elsewhere. So I was at the NWDA board meeting where they decided to appeal this project, and the message I heard loud and clear is we need to bring this issue to City Council for them to decide if staff has been interpreting this properly or not. And NWDA strongly believes that the interpretation that's within the settlement is the right interpretation, and it would be adopted by council.
Following up on my colleague's question, I mean, if we deny the appeal, is it your client's intention to still enter into some portion of the agreement with the neighborhood?
Our intention from the beginning of any project in the city is to work with the neighborhoods to get to a solution that is good for everybody. And yes,
but so if we were to deny the appeal,
yes,
though, the only portion of the settlement that is still enforceable would be that portion that deals specifically with the trees, not with any prospective changes in the code. Am I right, Council?
Yes.
And the answer is yes. We would work with the neighborhood to come up with something because the reality is that they still have the possibility to continue to appeal this.
So is it fair to say, in light of Commissioner Leonard's very cogent question, that the difference between us adopting your finding and us not adopting your finding is really limited to the question of whether we're prepared to amend the code and apply it retroactively in this case, or whether period. That's the only distinction. Whether
I think that it's an interpretation, not an amendment of the code.
Okay.
Is the first part.
We've had lots of testimony today from people passionately, eloquently, speaking for these trees. Now, notwithstanding the fact, as I understand, the arborist says they're near the end of their life, and notwithstanding the fact that there's evidence in the record that no matter what steps you take, they may die.
Mm-hmm.
Notwithstanding that, you've agreed to take these steps. Regardless of how we rule today, you've agreed to take the steps that you've outlined to try to protect the trees. Is that correct?
Essentially, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And if I can just expand on that, during the negotiations with the neighborhood, during Landmarks review, after the Landmarks decision, we provided an alternative mitigation approach, and the effort to preserve the trees was preferred at that time to the alternative mitigation, which was a significant tree fund that could be used to survey trees in the neighborhood and plant new trees. But the neighborhood elected that they preferred the preservation efforts. So we're trying to fulfill their wishes.
I just had a question, and maybe it's not you I should direct this to, but there was a lot of discussion that to preserve these trees. I mean, I think we're all familiar with the risk to the roots, but there was, and I can't remember who was stating this, maybe it was Tim or our forester in her memo, but that the canopy has to be reduced. Now, is that a tree preservation, or is that an aesthetic for your new development, for those who occupy your new development?
It's a combination of things. Again, and I'm not an arborist, is what I've learned that you do have to balance out. There's a couple of reasons. One is you have to balance out the canopy with your root system. That's one of them.
Okay.
And the second one is that, yes, the building is 5 stories tall. Mm-hmm. Some of these branches are in the way of those 6 stories.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a pruning process that has to happen, and it just can't happen just anywhere. It has to happen at a certain point in the tree, and that's...
Well, and I want to assure my colleague, because this issue came up in the Pearl not long ago when someone came and topped off some trees without permission. Title 11, which this council has substantially revised, updated recently, does govern the pruning of trees. So these...
Yeah.
You as a developer are not allowed to go in and start changing the canopy. You have to go through our distinguished tree team and get permission to do that. And that's heavily regulated by Title 11. In fact, we're often criticized for the scope of those regulations, but that is the protection for the tree canopy.
So it's part arbor science or whatever, and it's part
the city code.
Well, but and necessary and for
the existing development that we're proposing, yes.
Right, okay.
Other discussion with council? Thank you all very much. Does anyone wish to testify in opposition to the appeal?
No one else signed up.
All right. That means the appellant has a right to a reply. So can you summarize for me where it sounds like you have an agreement on the specific project and what issues are left or do you not, and or what other issues are left undone?
Well, at this point, the issue that is, I think, before council is really how we're going to move forward in terms of the next development and clarify for us what the code means. I don't think this is a matter of creating a respectfully, Commissioner, a hodgepodge. It's asking the council to interpret the code consistent with both the Historic Design Review Chapter, Title 33, and the community design guidelines and the alphabet historic guidelines that are incorporated within, and that they're very specific. Now, Commissioner, if you'll give me a chance, I can get back to you on our question here about The newest argument of staff that you know, originally we asked, they said they were relying on the B5 exemption, and now they've raised the 1733 difference, and now we're talking about, I think, whether design review applies to street trees because it doesn't fall within four, or because the intention is to plant new trees that are already approved. I'm not sure which, but the section that you're asking the question about is one that gives guidance on when historic design review is triggered. And in this case, historic design review is triggered because they're building a new building. And that's under two. So once we get under two, then as in the findings, the final findings and decision that was prepared by staff, it's, the criteria are the Title 33, the Community Design Guidelines and the Historic Alphabet District Community Design Guideline Addendum. And by statute or by code, all of those criteria must be met. And interestingly enough, one of the criteria staff mentions is the pedestrian network, which is in the public right of way. So, be able to follow the code, whether you're a developer or a neighborhood association, it's got to make sense both chapter by chapter and read together. I mean, if we're just picking parts of it out and trying to interpret the specific situation, and like it was in this case, where we're ignoring a significant feature in this, the Alphabet Historic District, in terms of how this building is going to be built. I wonder how much integrity the code has, how much we can rely on it. I mean, I did code interpretation for 15 years in the U.S. District Court in the Ninth Circuit. I've read this for 3 weeks. I'm taken back by this new argument. I would ask that the council seriously look at the issue. I don't think that this requires, it would help to do a legislative action and clean it up, and certainly we'd ask you to do that if you decide not to agree with us today. But
to that point, Frank?
Yes, sir.
And I can't speak for my colleagues, but if the council determines that they disagree with your interpretation of the code, and we're not ultimately the final say on this, if you disagree with us, as you know.
Yeah.
Then the appeal would be denied, and you would still have an agreement with the developer.
Yeah.
And so as to this development, you would still have successfully protected, to the best of your ability, these trees. And then is there anything that prevents you from coming back to council and asking for a legislative change in the future to address interplay between Title 33 and Title 11?
No, there isn't, Commissioner. But as we know, trying to move those kinds of policy issues forward with the city take a lot of time and a lot, and they go.
But Frank, in fairness on that one,
right,
because you're often on the other side of that argument. The reason they take a lot of time is that we actually open it up to a broad range of stakeholders, and we create a record, and we do it thoughtfully and methodically, and frankly, to the credit of NWDA, you are often in the position of telling us not to rush into something. You are frequently reminding us that public process should precede any change legislatively, particularly that has citywide impact or district-wide impact. So in fairness, that's usually what you are advocate, and I take very seriously when you tell us that we should go through a public process to make sure we get it right. Here, it does feel, off of Commissioner Leonard's point, that you're attempting to bootstrap through this proceeding in the guise of a clarification, a change in our code that could have wide-ranging implications. Now, you and I may agree or disagree on that point, but what strikes me as unusual about this is that you've already negotiated a successful outcome with respect to these trees.
Can I respond?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, we don't question the need to do a thoughtful legislative process, certainly, and we're in favor of that. That the issue is, you know, right now we have clear, I think we have a reasoned a way that clearly gives the council the authority to agree with us and to instruct staff to consider street trees in Historic Landmarks Commission hearings. I disagree with the fact that we have, you know, our the agreement we were able to fashion at this point, I mean, is, you know, trying to do this from the neighborhood side, are a lot of people have expressed their severe disappointment in the result here because we're not giving these trees the full chance of surviving that they might have had the Landmarks Commission been able to balance their importance with the construction of the building. So we've got a very imperfect situation, yes. We don't feel that, we believe this developer got caught in the middle, and we're, you know, the intention is to move forward and try to follow this agreement as it relates to his particular development, because quite frankly, he is a good developer, and he's worked with us in good faith. And you know, as the neighborhood and the developer bring you a situation like this, I would hope that you'd give due consideration, you know, to the fact that we've worked hard to try to clarify this and encourage us in this situation rather than discourage us and send us home with basically saying, you know, we wasted the council's time trying to do something in terms of a clarification for staff.
So if I could just follow up on that, I agree with everything you'd said, but I mean, you're sophisticated at this stuff. At the point that you won, you declare victory and say, well, we don't want to go to council now, but you've put us in the position now of weighing in on a broader issue by asking us to ratify an agreement that's site-specific but has implications citywide. And that's my only concern, is that I applaud your ability to strike an agreement and support it. This is not the way, however, to ratify that.
Well,
in my opinion.
Thank you, Commissioner. And where we would respectfully disagree is I don't think we're asking council to do as much as you are stating. I think what we're asking council to do is to interpret the existing code correctly under the circumstances, even though it tends to be somewhat ambiguous, and to later go back, as we have heard from Mr. Heron, and make it even clearer. I don't think we're asking, and I don't think we dream of coming to council to ask you for a change in policy. What we're asking you to do, the staff in an Historic Landmarks Commission setting 4 years ago and before agreed with the way that we're reading the code. I mean, so there was somewhere along the line, there was another change that has cascaded down throughout the city in terms of this issue. So, I think it is with, great respect we may be asking you to disagree with staff, yes, but we're not asking you to change the code. We're asking you to read it correctly as it's meant to be read together.
I would just add to that this is really a question of interpretation, not a statutory change. In the memo that we provided, which albeit you probably received this morning or maybe late yesterday, but the memo in which we went through the legal arguments made by staff includes an analysis of these points and also includes prior precedent by the Historic Landmarks Commission and a site-specific opinion that you might care to look at. So it's clear that this is an interpretation, and it's something that apparently has changed over the last few years. So all we're asking is that we go back to an interpretation that would allow the Landmarks Commission to consider street trees in a historic district.
If I can just ask, this is speculation, and you don't have to speculate if you don't choose to. So if you weren't dealing with a developer that you felt was a good developer, and you were trying to get simply, the first part, change the interpretation so that Landmarks has decision making over street trees, and you prevailed, and would you just would you be then, because there are people obviously in your neighborhood who want to see this whole building, such a building, redesigned, redone, is that where you'd be going if you prevailed, your first part of your agreement was there?
I'm sure, Commissioner, that you would find us advocating before the Historic Landmarks Commission for a building that was more protective of the trees. There's no doubt about that. But what we would have would be a fair chance at getting that issue considered in the proper, in what we believe is the proper venue. And, the neighborhood, believe me, has so much to do that it's not in the business of appealing these decisions frequently. I mean, as demonstrated throughout the years, we're very careful, and so we're not contemplating appealing every decision of the Historic Landmarks Commission over tree issues, but we like a fair chance for it to be considered.
Okay.
One last point is that Commissioner Fish mentioned the lifespan of these trees. I believe in the Arborist Report that the elm trees can live 175 to 200 years, and under the, I think that's mentioned in the applicant's Arborist Report. Under an urban environment, somewhat less, but unknown how much less. And these trees are estimated between 100 and 125 years old. So there's a potential life span here that's going to outlive both all of us here.
And I don't want there to be any confusion on the record, Frank. I was one of the authors of the Title 11 code changes that came to council, which, if you've read the newspaper recently, has been mocked and ridiculed on its foundation stone, which is one-for-one replacement, mitigation, charging developers who choose to take down trees, protecting the existing canopy. We go so far as to say keep a nuisance tree in place because of the canopy. So you and I don't have a philosophical disagreement about trees, the role of trees, and the like. There is a legal issue that we've been asked to resolve about how Title 11 and Title 33 interplay. And you've made your case very thoughtfully. We have other arguments. We have to decide that question. But there is no philosophical disagreement about the virtue and value of trees.
Yeah, that's understood, Commissioner. And please, counsel, don't interpret my passion here as reflecting any judgment on your competence and goodwill and exceptional public service.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Anyone else wish to testify in support of the appeal? No. All right. So that gets us to council decision making.
Some questions, I guess.
You have questions?
Well, for Tim and then of Catherine, I guess.
So, Mayor Adams, I just have to let you know, I have a prior engagement. I'll have to leave shortly, but I want to be here for the initial deliberations, if I could.
I'm sure Commissioner Saltzman has that in mind as he asks his question.
So, Tim, at some point you mentioned the historic code review process that Bureau of Planning, Sustainability, Bureau of Development Services have embarked on. You weren't suggesting that this is an issue that could be addressed in that way.
I was illustrating a point that there are lots of areas of the code that we'd like to fix and we'd like to make better.
Okay, but this would be kind of bigger than we envisioned.
I think this would be bigger than that, and arguably we talked about it at great length during the tree code.
Okay. And I guess for Catherine, so there's a lot of talk about, are we sort of legislating by this, if we were to uphold the appellant's agreement? I mean, isn't that kind of what we are in terms of a quasi-judicial body? If we choose to support an interpretation, that interpretation then gets interpreted by staff. And we're not necessarily changing code, we're interpreting code, which is kind of our job in these types of cases.
Sometimes there's a fuzzy line between the two. Where there is ambiguity in the code, you do have the latitude to interpret it. Mm-hmm. However, in interpreting it, you have to take the words that are written in the code and figure out a way to connect the dots. And you can't read things into the code that aren't there. You can't take things out of the code that are clearly stated. Our code directs you in interpreting the code to apply the plain language of the of the code and give words their literal meaning. There may be multiple ways to interpret the code here. Some are better than others. I think definitely the stronger interpretation is the one that has been proffered by staff that more clearly connects the dots in the code as it's written. Mm-hmm. That's not to say you couldn't adopt the other interpretation. I think it's much more difficult to connect the dots in the code in the way that the appellants have proposed. And I think a much clearer solution would be to direct,